This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Streaming online at ESPNRochester.com. Breaking news, scores, and on-demand audio. Bookmark the sports leader, ESPNRochester.com.
Here in the sports bar with Danger Battaglia. We only talk to the best and the brightest minds when it comes to the Buffalo Bills, when it comes to the Buffalo Sabres. And that is why we are proud to have on from WKBW in Buffalo, Joe Bisaglia, joining us in the sports bar. How are you this afternoon, Joe?
I'm great. You know, it hasn't been a busy weekend at all. Very ho-hum, if you ask me.
Nothing going on. That's why we invited you on. We know we talk about your personal life and we know how things are going at home.
Yeah, that's what I figured. All right, where do we start, guys?
Well, let's see. We could do Whaley. We could do the draft. Let's start with the draft. What did you think of how the Bills did, Joe?
Well, if I were to have told Bills fans, heading into the draft, they would come out of it with three of the top 63 players and an extra first-round pick next year, I think everyone would be cheering a little bit. Now, when it was a prisoner-of-the-moment situation and – you know, when it got into the second round and you saw the Bills trade up twice, people were like, oh, they're giving up too much. But you have to kind of remove yourself from that, look at the bigger picture and say, all right, they got a cornerback, a wide receiver, and a right tackle, all three that have the very easy possibility of starting this year and a first-round pick next year in a very quarterback-heavy draft. So I think by leaps and bounds, they've done a pretty good job in Sean McDermott's draft number one.
Nathan Peterman is the name that caught the attention of a lot of fans, and we knew that he was a highly touted quarterback prospect out of Pitt, maybe like the fifth or the sixth round quarterback in a lot of experts' boards. Tell us what you know about the signing from Pitt.
Well, Peterman he's a solid player. Nothing really spectacular about him. I think he's got good long-term backup potential. I don't know if he's necessarily, I saw a lot of hyperbole out there. Oh, Nathan Peterman's this year's Kirk Cousins. I think I read about like three or four this year's Kirk Cousins out there so far. I mean, CJ Beathard these type of guys. But, with Peterman, there's a few things I really like about him. I like his decision-making in the fact that he's not just going to settle with dumping the pass down. And that's really important to me for what I look for in a quarterback, if I'm honest. Now, his accuracy, not the best. But that said, he's willing to throw it into some tight windows, comes from the pro style offense. And another thing I really like, he is willing to step into his throws, even if a heat seeking defensive player is shooting down the pipe and ready to hit him in the face. He steps into the throw. So I like those things about Peterman. Now the arm, the accuracy, those are the things he's going to have to prove and improve upon when he gets into the NFL. But in terms of potential, I could see him being a number two for a long time if he develops the right way.
It makes it interesting looking forward to St. John Fisher, because you would have to think the Bills are going to take an extended look. So does it come down to a roster spot, T.J. Yates against Cardale Jones here?
It could. If I'm honest, I don't know if I would necessarily rule out the idea of keeping four guys on the roster. I know it's a bit unheard of in NFL circles, but you look at how important that position is. I mean, why not just keep four guys on there, especially if, you could have another year with Cardale Jones? Because if you cut him, he's getting scooped up immediately by somebody.
And doesn't Yates feel like a consultant? I mean, it just feels like he's on the roster because he's worked in the Dennison offense for years, and he probably knows it better than anybody else on the roster.
Yeah, for sure. Like a secondary coach that can help everybody with the playbook, with a little bit of everything. I'm sorry if you hear that noise in the background. It feels like my car is going through a car wash, which is the weather/tornado happening apparently right now. So I apologize if you can hear that. But that said, T.J. Yates in what he is. I think by and large, he's exactly what you think he is. You know, maybe a backup, maybe a third string if one of these other two guys don't develop. And, you know, worst case scenario, TJ Yates is your backup and Nathan Peterman and Cardale Jones you're developing in the beyond to figure out exactly which of these guys, or maybe both of them, have a little bit something to them and then try and address the quarterback situation for good in the 2018 draft.
Joe Biscaglia, WKBW Bills reporter, joining us here. Good enough to give us a few minutes, even though there's a tornado watch going on here today. Joe, as far as the two six-round picks, or the two late picks, I should say, the two linebackers, Milano and Vallejo, either one of these guys have the potential to compete at the outside position perhaps here?
Well, I think if I had to look at the two of them, to me, I think the one that could factor in the most, possibly, it's tough to really project a late-round guy like that, but would be Vallejo if he's healthy. Last year, he was just completely, you know, torn up by injuries and that kind of, like, it really put a damper on his year, but very good as a sophomore and a junior, has been a highly decorated player in the Mountain West Conference, so... To me, he's got the kind of size and speed. I think he could play weak side or middle linebacker, kind of as a versatile type. So, to me, I think maybe him. Milano, to me, is more of a special teams guy. That's kind of what he's known for, and I think that's why they took him in the fifth round. He would be more of a weak side linebacker, though. I think Bills fans should start to get a little bit comfortable with the idea that Ramon Humber might actually start at weak side linebacker for this team this year.
Joe, that hurts.
Yeah.
Joe Biscaglia.
Well, call it like I see it, man.
Joe Biscaglia joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. All right, on to the news of yesterday morning and Doug Whaley. And just when we were about to give Jason Lockenfour a credit for being right for the last 6 months, a report today saying that the final straw for Doug Whaley was on draft night, on day one of the draft, the idea that Terry Pegula wanted to draft Pat Mahomes, and they obviously traded back in the draft. I mean, I have to imagine with the reports that were swirling around before the draft even started that there were going to be changes within the personnel at One Bills Drive, that Doug and his staff probably knew prior to the draft that they were going to be gone, did they not?
Yeah, I think they if they didn't know for sure, they had a pretty good idea. Just because if you see the general manager not being able to do the general manager things, then odds are that guy is not going to be the general manager much longer. Now, that said, you know, in terms of the Lockenfour reporting, I think he had it right on for the whole 6 months, but this one today was off. I will admit that one was a little off based on, you know, everything that we've been hearing over the course of time. But, you know, I don't want to take credit away from the guy because he was right on it from February on about, you know, the discord about the Tyrod Taylor situation, which was all absolutely true. So, this one, you know, perhaps, you know, whoever he was talking to might not be in the happiest state at the moment. And maybe they were one of the ones that were, you know, let go by the Bills recently. But that said, you know, I don't want to discredit the guy for the last 6 months by any means.
Joe, should we be surprised that not only was a Whaley, but the whole scouting department essentially was let go as well?
No, I don't think you should. And for a big reason of that is because it doesn't matter who the head coach was, the general manager, for the most part, everything has kind of stayed the same in the background, you know, whether it be the scouts, you know, the player personnel department. There have been some tinkering, you know, over the course of time, but and not even the player personnel department. The front office has been pretty much the same. The football administration department has been pretty much the same. So I would tend to believe that there has been a full-scale review over the entire operation over at One Bills Drive, trying to figure out what has worked and what hasn't. And to be honest, I think it's probably a long time coming. Now, there's a lot of good people that are out of jobs, you know, good humans, that is. It's just a matter of this thing hasn't worked for such a long time. Why would you continue to do the same thing over and over again with the same people? And I think that's the kind of position that they're finding themselves in. It tore Terry Pegula up to fire Doug Whaley. He almost cried on Sunday when he was talking with us, when when talking about the relationship that he had with Doug. That said, you know, you have to look at it from a business standpoint. And even though you're friends with him, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the best thing for your business. And I think that's what the Pegulas, who are basically learning on the fly here on how to be NFL owners and figuring out that it's way tougher than it probably looked on TV, that they need to do a full-scale review of what's happening at One Bills Drive and assess the situation and figure out who they can trust, who they can appoint leaders in this position. And I think the one person that they trust most of all is Sean McDermott.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how things have changed as quickly as they have with Coach McDermott being in the building now. And I think it's hard for Bills fans not to feel a sense of hope given everything that's transpired over the course of the last 4 or 5 days. But let's step into reality for a second, Joe, and you tell me if you think I'm off. I mean, the firing of Doug Whaley and the firing of your scouting department, I mean, this is a step back for the promise of a leap forward, is it not?
It is to a certain point if you look at keeping everybody in the same place as you know, the way to kind of build yourself into that, into that winter. If they felt like they had a successful background to their organization, a backbone to their organization, really, then those people would probably still be employed. So I kind of like the idea of starting fresh, starting anew, mm-hmm. because honestly, it's been the same thing there for years and years. Like I said, it didn't matter if it was Dick Turan, Chan Gailey, Doug Marrone, Rex Ryan. Most, if not the majority of the pieces have stayed the same at One Bills Drive. And you know the normal refrain, the definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over again and thinking that things are going to change. And that just hasn't happened for the Buffalo Bills. They're trying something new. And is it a step back? Perhaps. But in terms of not having the same people involved and having to acclimate as many people. But it also brings that many more fresh eyes, fresh perspectives, and not resting on the laurels of doing things the way that they've always been done. So for that matter, I would say that there should be an air of optimism about those moves.
Well, Joe, how difficult? I mean, on paper, yes, absolutely. Let all the scouts go. Let all the personnel people go. But I would think that's easier said than done, is it not?
Yes, but they're at the point in the year where the scouts really aren't doing much. And, you know, they go to the Blesto scouting meetings, you know, either this week or the next week or the week after that, sometime soon. And that's essentially this national aggregate that gives them the list of players from the college football season to essentially keep an eye on. And, you know, that's when the scouting season really kicks into gear, once summer camps start going and everything like that. And then once spring games are done and they can start to dig into the college football tape. So I don't know that it's necessarily going to put them too far behind the eight ball from that department. You know, I do think they need to act swiftly on a GM to have direction for the front office, but I don't know that they're necessarily going to wait too long on that. Once the Sabres GM search, I think, is done, then I think we'll start to see this Bills GM search done. And hey, look at that. Sean McDermott is the longest tenured of the big four positions in Buffalo sports right now. How about that?
My God. Scary. Real quick, Joe, what do we know about some of these potential candidates? We're hearing already reports that the Bills have received permission to speak to Brandon Bean, who's the assistant GM in Carolina, Don Gregory, another Carolina guy, Brett Veach, some of the names that we're hearing. What are you hearing, or what do you know about any of these candidates for the Bills GM position?
They have one thing in common. They are, you know, the finger quotes, new blood that you heard about with the Buffalo Sabres search. I think this kind of applies here. You know, everything that they outline for what they're looking for in a new Sabres GM, I think you can apply it straight to the Bills, because that's essentially what they found in Sean McDermott. That's what they want out of their Sabres GM. I wouldn't expect anything less out of the Bills GM. So what they have in common is, A, there are assistant GMs out there, and they haven't really had the job of the real GM, so to speak. So maybe they'll bring a fresh set of eyes, fresh perspective to how the job should be done. B, I think it's also very telling that all three of those guys that you mentioned have worked with Sean McDermott in the past, which leads me to C, that it is very important to Terry and Kim Pegula that the GM works in harmony with the head coach, which is something that they have not had there for the past 4 years with Doug Whaley, whether it be with Doug Marrone or Rex Ryan. So I think those are the three characteristics they're looking for more than anything. And so that's why I think we'll probably get an answer to that GM search maybe a lot quicker than perhaps the Sabres GM search is taking.
Joe, there's a very big decision with the Bills not having a GM regards to the option for Sammy Watkins coming up. From the outside here, why would you give up a year control on Sammy Watkins? But on the other hand, maybe if he's not healthy, maybe it's a cap thing. If you can explain to us what's going on here in regards to Sammy Watkins and the Bills picking up his option potentially.
I mean, I totally agree with you. I am not on board. Like they, the most of the things they've done this offseason, I have agreed with. This, I can't get on board with because, like you said, you're essentially robbing yourself of a year of control over a guy who is so insanely talented in Sammy Watkins. And so rather than having that fifth-year option, your only options are to have to control him for the next 2 years by giving him the franchise tag if you deem him worth it. You know, worst case scenario, he doesn't want to talk about a long-term extension and you have him only for 2 years rather than 3 years. So that's one part I don't like about it. The other part, I mean, they're essentially protecting themselves from having to guarantee somewhere around a $13 million salary for the 2018 season in the event that he has, you know, a cataclysmic injury to where he is unable to play or he's projected to be unable to play in the start of the season. That's the only way that injury guarantee goes in. If they pick up the option on him, then, you know, and, you know, he doesn't produce over the course of the 2017 season and they feel like they're maybe better off without him, they can walk away from it at any point before the start of the new league year. So, which is in March of 2018. So to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And if he comes back the way that I think he's capable of coming back, then you're in a situation where A, you either have to give him a long, long-term extension, maybe before you were 1 year before that that you were prepared to do, or B, you would have to up that guaranteed salary to around upper $16, $17 million to franchise tag him. So, I was scratching my head a little bit about that decision. And I that's one I disagree with.
Joe, could it be that you know, we spend a lot of time talking about how much athletes benefit from having that second foot surgery and that they come back and they're better than they were before? Could it be that he just isn't right?
It could be. And that's something you have to consider. Although I think their thinking here is, well, we don't know where this rehab is going to take us. You can look at some very notable, examples of this. Julio Jones, Dez Bryant, mm-hmm. that went through the two surgeries, and they have come back very well. So, to me, I think the most interesting thing here is, okay, how is he going to come back? Is this going to motivate him even more? Sort of thing. So that's probably what they're preventing themselves from. But, you know, that said, this guy is, when he's healthy, he's an all-world talent. And I just don't know that I would risk losing a year of having that guy in my team, especially if you were trying to build a foundation of a roster.
Joe, great job. We always appreciate your insight. And these should be a few exciting weeks here with minicamp and everything happening with the Buffalo Bills. Appreciate your time today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for putting up with the car wash I'm in.
Stay safe out there,
yeah,
Joe.
Right.
Don't be driving through a tornado or anything.
No. I just came out to my car to do the radio hit, so now, unfortunately, I get to walk back into the building through this little tornado thing. So let's hope I don't blow away.
Joe, enjoy the rest of your night. Stay safe. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
All
really
right,
appreciate it. You got it. Joe Biscaglia from WKBW. You can read his work right there at WKBW.com. Good with his time this afternoon. And giving us the Bills Inside Scoop, provided exclusively by Perry's Ice Cream. Life is a bowl of Perry's.
Doesn't think that letting go of the whole scouting department isn't, you know, that big a deal, but he's kind of in lockstep with you, Danger, that this move of letting Doug Whaley go is one step back to take another two steps
forward.
Yeah,
and I think it's realistic to look at it that way. You know, you can feel the hope that you feel right now because it appears like they're doing the right thing. They're firing a guy that everybody believed should have been fired a while ago. They're actually making moves in the draft that make sense rather than, you know, head-scratching moves. I mean, you know, Coach McDermott is saying all the right things, and maybe the players are actually buying into what the head coach is saying. Everything that you see on the surface looks great, but talent is still talent, and they've yet to play a game, and that schedule is daunting. And I have a feeling if you're expecting 2017 to be an improvement from 2016, you're going to be mistaken. I really believe that when they fired Rex Ryan, they basically hit reset, and this is the completion of the reboot. You've got now Doug Whaley out of the picture. You're no longer looking at the blue screen of death. You're just looking at your computer starting up again, and it takes a couple of minutes for it to get back to operating function.
I think by and large, people will get that going into this year. It's if you finish up 8-8, well, that compared to a Rex Ryan 8-8 where you have 10 guys on the field or you have players 15-yard penalties. If you're 8-8, if you're maximizing the potential this year and you could see young talent developing, that's kind of the curve that I think Bills fans can hope for here. And maybe just in December just to see in the hunt. That should be the expectation.
There will be mistakes. I mean, listen, Sean McDermott will make mistakes. I'm telling you right now, there will be mismanagement of timeouts. There will be, you know, ridiculous penalties. There will be mistakes that leave fans wanting the same fate for him as Rex Ryan. He's not going to be perfect. Rex Ryan doesn't have the attention to detail. On the surface, it appears that Sean McDermott has this great attention to detail. And it'll be nice to see how that plays out over the course of a season. I think even with the best attention to detail, the players are still out there and they're going to make mistakes. And McDermott's going to be a part of those mistakes, and they're going to get worse before they get better, in my opinion.
Well, and you also, I wouldn't expect that whole roster to buy in. Even Rex Ryan didn't have 100% buy-in. Anybody remember Mario Williams kind of taking plays off and just mailing it in that first season Rex came in? So that would be another storyline to see here, which veterans may not be all in here on McDermott.
We play a game called I'll Drink to That in the Sports Bar. We'll give you some compelling sports thoughts to agree or disagree with. Raise a glass. We're going to play I'll Drink to That in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia next on ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.